There she blows, a matey. The ships are coming in. Byron Donald's ship came in last night. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:07 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Your top story, election results. Of course, we'll get to that, but Byron Donald's winning big now. He faces David Jolly in the fall. And also, Canada and the U.S., working on a trade deal, because if they didn't come in and do a little delay tactic, well, together, I mean a pause in this thing, then there'd be like 50% tariff on some Canadian goods coming this way. And, of course, the Canadians would probably fight back, and then it's not good for anybody. So hopefully they'll work that out. Right now it's in the middle of a three-day pause. They've reached that part of the agreement. So that's a good thing. Hey, remember the guy up in Michigan? He's going to be facing Mike Rogers, Abdul El-Sayed. He's going to get a lot of coverage. He has been getting a ton of coverage. First of all, the guys he hangs out with is, a complete loser who said we deserved 9/11. So that's a problem. Now he's facing again Mike Rogers, who is, really dedicated his life to public service, the FBI, United States congressman, things like that. Mike Rogers, rock solid in my opinion, for everything I know about him. So he does this ad where he's driving an old Ford pickup truck with a couple of American flags in the back, and they're going to a big event that's based on Woodward Avenue, the Woodward Cruise, a big thing up in Michigan. And so a guy working for El-Sayed says, oh, that looks more like, that reminds me of like a KKK meeting or something, because he's driving a pickup truck. And El-Sayed didn't deny it, or didn't fire the guy or do anything. So you have to assume, I guess, he sort of agreed with him to some extent. Here's the problem. Wake up, pal. You're in Michigan. He's driving a Ford truck. I mean, you're talking about Ford. They put Michigan on the map. The Ford Motor Company still employs a ton of people in Michigan, along with the other car manufacturers. So this guy, El-Sayed, he is shooting himself in the foot with his candidacy, which I'm very happy to see. But he continued on. Now somebody did some research, and they're saying that his mother once worked for an organization that was designated as a global terrorist group and accused of funneling funds to Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, and Hamas. This is a new report that just came out. El-Sayed's birth mother, Fadin El-Khami, worked for the Islamic American Relief Agency from 1999 until at least 2004, when the U.S. Department of Treasury linked the group to terrorism. They had dozens of offices across the globe, billed itself as a humanitarian organization focusing on healthcare, orphans, and disadvantaged people in areas of conflict. But the organization, also known as the Islamic African Relief Agency, provided direct financial support for the mastermind behind the 9/11 terror attacks, Osama bin Laden. And the Treasury Department came out with these allegations back in 2004. Information available to the U.S. shows the overseas branches of this group provided hundreds of thousands of dollars to UBL in 1999. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. The global group has allegedly supported Hamas and other terrorist groups like the Taliban fighters. So this is El-Sayed's mother that has these, what I would say, are extremely strong ties here. Funding bin Laden, Hamas, Taliban. Wow. So, is that going to, I wonder what the impact will be for El-Sayed in the upcoming fall election against Mike Rogers. That's going to be an interesting one to follow. It already is. Can you imagine somebody's working for your campaign and takes issue with you driving an old Ford pickup truck with American flags in the back and saying he associated that with the KKK? I just, These people can't say any crazier things than they already do. But they keep doing it. And you think these this craziness would, you know, knock them out. Well, he won the first round, although it was much tighter than people thought. Now we've got another nutbag that's going to go against Ashley Moody. You know, and Ashley Moody, a former AG, and then appointed to the Senate to fill Marco Rubio's seat. And she did quite well, garnering nearly 80% of the vote last night. So Ashley's strong in the Republican primary. But she faces up against Angie Nixon, who apparently is very far left of center. I don't know if she's officially a DSA candidate, but, you know, she sounds very socialist. She wants to give everything away, free everything. But she beat a candidate, Alex Vindman, former military, and apparently, what was it? He spent like 8 times as much as her, something like that. For her to overcome all of that, and again, just steps away, one step away from being a United States senator, which I've said this before, that is a big deal. I mean, if you're serving in Congress, it's a big deal. If you're a senator, you're one of 100, you know, and that body has a lot of power. And to think that somebody who's that far left of center could get the Senate is crazy.
So we do have her. We're having a lot of phone issues. We've only got a couple of minutes because she'll have to take off again, but she's there.
All right.
Yes.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick, good morning. How you doing?
Hello, my friend. I'm so sorry. I don't know
what's going on. Wow.
Yeah, you are breaking up real bad. Well, you know the deal. Anytime that we can get you on, we'd love to have you. So anytime that you can call back, we'll make room for you, right?
I appreciate
you. Oh, technology. It sucks.
Sorry about that. I mean, it's not our fault, but I'm saying sorry to everybody else because I wanted to hear her take. She was a huge supporter of Byron Donalds. I'll play Kat Kamick. Okay, you play me. All right, you ready, Greg?
Sure. Okay. So Kat, what did you think about the results last night?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Man, I only got like 2 hours sleep last night. They made me clean up afterwards. I don't know how I got roped into that.
Uh-huh.
But you know me, I'm a worker, and I supported Byron from the get-go, and he loves Florida. He's got his three pillars moving forward, including affordability. He's pro-Doge, and he makes fun of David Jolly, which is fairly easy to do, but he does a good job of it. And he's got a handle on the property tax issue. And we just had a great time.
Well, thanks, Kat. Love you. Appreciate you being on the show. How do you wrap up your segment every time?
Go Gators.
There you go. All right.
See, I could. I knew I could imitate her.
Yeah.
She has got an opponent. I want to ask her about that. Seth Harp, that I know nothing about, the Democrat she'll face in the fall. And, of course, Congresswoman Kamick did not have anybody running against her in the Republican primary. So she's in. She's helped out Byron Donalds big time. She supported him from the get-go. He's in. He could be the next future governor. There's a very good chance of that occurring. And I think we can just, you know, the DeSantis legacy is going to be a powerful one. All you got to do is build on that. And I think Florida will be in fantastic shape. And, whenever we can get Congresswoman Kamick back on at any time, we'd love to talk to her. Although we do have Wilton Simpson, our Florida Ag Commissioner, who was victorious last night. He's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So stick around, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. All righty then. Happy Hump Day Trump Day, my friends. 8:20 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Byron Donalds wins. Moody wins. Corey Mills out. Randy Fine wins. What else is going on? Well, we also had the District 10 here, and we had Marshall Rawson beat Chase Brannon. Brannon was the one that came with some money. What was it? His father had the seat. Florida House District 10, yes. Marshall Rawson, we had him on the show a couple of times, and he made it over the top with not a lot of money and campaigned hard. So congratulations to him and all his supporters. I saw his signs, you know, everywhere, and I did not see the signs of this Chase Brannon guy. Honestly, I don't remember seeing one. I'm sure there were, but I didn't. And so anyway, that's just, you know, some of the results, and we're going to dig in further to that. But I mentioned that Corey Mills is out. You know, investigations, different things, charges against him. I know, you know, everything's allegations until, you know, until it's done. But it just wasn't, it just didn't bode well for him.
Yeah.
And it's not like he got, you know, waylaid. It was like 47-34, so he still got a substantial amount of votes, 31,000 versus 22,000. But it was Ryan Elijah who beat him, and I think he's a media guy. I want to say maybe TV, Central Florida guy. So anyway, that's the deal on that, because a lot of people were wondering, Corey Mills in or out, and he's tried to keep kind of a low profile, which is hard to do when you're running for office.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other ones that Anna Luna, she won unopposed. That's, yeah, there's some that, like Greg Stubbe, unopposed, Scott Franklin, unopposed. Oh, here's one. And Anna Luna's friend is Catalina Loff. And Catalina Loff got the thumbs up from President Trump even.
Right.
Now, she's young, and I don't know if that works against her. Of course, she's, you know, I'd mentioned this before. She just happens to be, you know, very attractive. But she is young, possibly. Not too young for that position. I'm not saying that.
You think name recognition had anything to do with it? I don't know.
I don't, because I didn't follow that, you know, her whole campaign. I did notice that her and Luna were, you know, palsy-wowsy. But Jim Schwartzel is a guy that actually came out on top. Now, we're talking about District 19, and this was the, you know, the Republican primary. Jim Schwartzel won. This is down, that district is like Southwest Florida, down in that area. It was like Marco Island, Naples, part of Lee County as well, or a lot of Lee County, if not all of it. So it's important. That's an important seat. And they will face off against Victor Arias, who I don't know much about, and that was a close race with a Howard Sapp, you know, 45-41%. So, again, some interesting stuff to extrapolate.
Yeah.
And but you know, the big story probably is Byron Donalds. Not that it's big, and he was leading in all the polls. But what we found was so many of these polls were way off on some of these races. I think the biggest one was Ms. Hong. Right. Up in Wisconsin. They had her winning big time, and she actually lost. And one of the stories maybe related to polling that I found is that a major polling scandal rocked the L.A. mayoral race after a firm admitted to fabricating poll results.
Wow.
Yeah, and they actually, this is Median Strategies, they're called, and they created fake polling showing that Karen Bass leading. The company claims the move was a short-term social experiment to study political misinformation.
You mean you got caught? Is that what that means? Is that what that really means?
That's the shortcut to the answer, yeah. A polling outfit that admitted surveys it released on L.A. mayoral's race and the Democratic gubernatorial primary in Wisconsin, so it does tie into the Wisconsin thing, were fake and is now out of business.
Imagine that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many of us really trust the polling? We've always said it can be an indication, can be a guide. I like it when you get like a matrix of polls, kind of mash them together, and you say, okay, you know, kick out the outliers and look at, and you could see trends and things like that. Mm-hmm. Then you might have something to work with. And, you know, you always wondered when you saw some polls that were like, you scratch your head and you're like, I don't know about that. You just wonder, were they just, you know, cooking stuff up? Did they know that they were talking to people who, you know, leaned one way or another, but it was an easy group to extrapolate answers from, shall we say? You know what I mean? Like a group that you know is always going to, like, we talk about answering the phone. It's like, yeah, how many people have a landline now? So, of course, they go beyond that now, but that was an interesting part of the whole polling thing as it's morphed and changed. Maybe, and I could be guilty of this as well, and I'll assume some responsibility on this, maybe we do talk about polls too much. Because that can have a sway. Nobody wants to, quote unquote, waste their vote.
Or my guy's winning already. Why do I even bother?
That too. Yeah.
So either way,
he's leading double digits. Yeah. I'm not going to get off my arse and do anything.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that could be very detrimental. It does. I wonder what it does to the human psyche, because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Americans love an underdog story, but they also like to be part of winning.
That's true, too.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm on the winning team kind of thing.
You wonder, like, is it better to be rooting against the Yankees or for them?
Okay.
For instance.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Especially when they were, you know, winning everything. So the human psyche, and you hear the, and you watch these polls, and you're like, oh, wow. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I don't know that much about that candidate because everybody, quote unquote, is voting for X.
Right.
That would be an interesting study to see how much it does impact. Well, that's kind of what they were doing, or they're saying they were doing in this polling for the L.A. mayor, Karen Bass. It's a short-term social experiment.
Yeah. That's messing with an election is what you're potentially doing.
Again, I agree with that, but what about the media, about our responsibility in dealing with the polls? I try not to make a huge deal about them, but I'd be lying if I said I don't talk about them or mention them much, especially if they're either skewed way off.
But what do we always say leading into a story? A poll is a poll is a poll, meaning don't put all your eggs in this basket.
And that is my disclaimer. Thank you.
I like it.
Thank you.
It works.
Almost attorney at law, almost. Greg Cassidy. We appreciate that. All right. It's 8:28 already on the Bob Rose Show. We've got plenty more coming your way. Florida Ag Commissioner, who was victorious last night, Wilton Simpson, joining us at 9:05 right here on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 8:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Congratulations, Byron Donalds. He has won the Republican primary in the gubernatorial race. And coming in second place, Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins with about 25% of the vote. It was a reasonable showing, I would say. All the polls had, you know, Byron way ahead from the very beginning to the end. But now we know a poll is just a poll. But in this case, I guess you have to consider that poll was at least somewhat accurate. So congratulations there. We're dealing with Canada on a tariff issue, and the president, basically, they worked out a deal where they're going to a 3-day pause, and hopefully, you know, cooler heads will prevail and they'll be able to do something, because a 50% tariff on Canadian goods, when it's like that, that's punitive. You've got to figure out what's really behind it, and you got to work your way through it, and hopefully they will. All right. They're a big trading partner. We can survive independently, as they could, but it's trade is a good thing. Trade is a good thing for capitalism. It's a good thing for all the countries involved, usually. So hopefully they'll work things out. Speaking of President Trump, he's going to ride around the IndyCar Freedom 250 course in his motorcade Sunday before the race begins in Washington, D.C., Again, lefty heads will be popping off everywhere.
Yes, they will.
Trump's motorcades expect to make a ceremonial trip around the 1.66-mile circuit, which starts and finishes near the U.S. Capitol. This, according to the New York Post, the course runs toward the White House along the same street used during presidential inaugurations, then turns near the National Archives and cuts across the National Mall. I would put a jump in there. To, like, go over the reflection pond.
Yeah, the suspension's really not set up for that sort of thing.
I know, that's why it would be so cool.
Well, you know,
I like to see sparks.
You'd see sparks. Yeah.
The course also passes the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, National Museum of the American Indian, and returning to the finish. I've been up and down those streets. Some of them aren't all that wide.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a bit challenging,
yeah.
But that makes it for a cool race.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-race events, including military flyovers, are scheduled to start 11:30 a.m. The race is expected to begin shortly after 1 p.m. And this, of course, comes on the heels a couple months ago with the big UFC event at the White House South Lawn. That was on June 14th. And, of course, Trump has been... on similar ceremonial rides at NASCAR events. I know he did it at Daytona.
Daytona was huge, yeah.
He did it twice. Mm-hmm. He did it again last year. I remember I was there for the first one. And that's cool stuff.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And the crowd loved it, even though the detractors like to say they, you know, nobody responded. No, they loved it.
He gets it, man.
Yes.
I mean, it is so interesting that...
He gets Americana.
Yeah, and he is a billionaire, but he can still identify and resonate and understand what the average person is going through and what challenges us.
Yeah,
that there's a special like insight in that.
You know, Tyrus, the former wrestler.
Oh yeah,
you know,
anyway, he's a Fox News guy.
I was watching a couple of great interviews with him, and he was basically apologizing to the president for having him wrong. On so many levels, because he's had a chance to see him since then as a real person, as a grandfather, as a dad, as relatable to the American people. And he's like, I had you wrong. And he actually apologized for it. And because Trump, for whatever reason, as we've said from day one, he relates better as a billionaire to the everyday guy on the street more than almost any president we've seen, probably short of Ronald Reagan.
Well, I mean, you look at some of these other people, like AOC is very popular on the left. And, you know, she didn't have tough beginnings, but more like middle average American.
Yeah.
But yet she's kooky. Like, remember they had the chance to put the Amazon thing in her district, which would have brought, you know, decent paying jobs to the area. And she said no to that. It's like, how could you say you care about your constituents when you're punishing them? And, of course, she's going along for the ride with all these tax hikes that they want to do in New York and all that.
But she said they couldn't afford it. She didn't understand they were getting tax breaks to move. Nobody's writing them a check.
Right.
She had it totally wrong.
And even if it is, you would say that's a subsidy. But to subsidize a real job in a real factory, you may not like it, but it's better than just out-and-out subsidy for no reason.
Which
like handouts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Democrats, socialists.
At least in this case, you say, oh, you're building toward the future. Yeah, they're getting relief from taxes now. Eventually, they're going to be paying. But all the people that work there are going to be paying taxes. And they're going to hopefully enjoy a lifestyle that was just a little bit better, at least, from what they previously had before they became employed there.
Yeah.
So you got that. But IndyCar Freedom 250 DC Sunday.
That's awesome.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like some pomp and circumstance. You know, part of me is like, man, I feel like I'm kind of missing out because, you know, I missed the UFC fight and all that.
Right.
You know, I want to go to DC, but then the other side of me is like, really? You really want to deal with the traffic, the headaches, all that stuff? And I'm like, maybe not.
I've only been there once, and it was like in January, and everything was dead and cold. We didn't want to go outside. I was there for a little convention thing. It's like nobody wanted to go outside D.C. in January.
Well, when I went the last time, I did a lot of walking. I mean, a lot. Mm. And I'm just not.
Yeah.
My knees are saying, yeah, no, let's kind of limit that.
Yes.
Which reminds me, I'm going to try to get a shot today, in fact. Hopefully that'll help
look
me.
Look at you.
Yeah. All right. MS Now's Morning Joe. House Democrat Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar out of California responded to a question on Democratic U.S. Senate nominee Abdul El-Sayed and Hassan Piker by saying that the party isn't lurching too far left.
What?
Yes.
What?
But races are contests between two individuals. Yeah, look, Syed and this nutbag Hassan Piker, and this guy is a hater, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's easier to make a short list of what he does like.
Uh-huh.
He's anti-Semitic, he's anti-American, okay? he said that we deserved 9/11. That's what that guy Hassan Piker has said. Now, Abdul El-Sayed has had plenty of opportunity to sever his ties with the guy. Instead, they're attached at the hip. They go campaigning together. I mean, they are palsy-wowsy. You know what I'm saying? They're pals. They're buddies.
That's a pair, all right.
So, El-Sayed, I just don't. Again, man, you could be surprised what goes on. You know, Michigan, mm-hmm. Michigan's came out strong this last time for Trump, and that was great. You got to keep that momentum going. It's a sort of a delicate economic balance there. You know what I mean? When the car manufacturers and all that, when that's going well, you know, everybody seems to do well. If there's just a little bump in the road or a glitch in that, it affects people psychologically. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
what's the future hold kind of thing? And some people get scared, so they vote for socialism because they want to be taken care of.
That's crazy, though. And again, we were both raised as kids in motor cities, literally. And we've seen, if the plant shuts down for a while or you lose one, that affects every restaurant, every shopping area within how many miles of it, and then the psychological part, too. So, as the automakers go, so can a whole town, a whole community.
Especially, when it's a huge industry like that. Yep. Everybody survives directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. So many indirect businesses.
Suppliers. I mean, it's amazing how many jobs contribute to that one plant.
Yep. There's a lot of, I saw it in Michigan, there was a lot of suppliers mm-hmm. for the automotive industry, even though they weren't automotive workers per se.
They're part of it. Yeah.
Hey, we were talking about polling and how, they're just not that accurate anymore, maybe for various reasons, including and not limited to basically just fake polls that a recent company now out of business admitted to in Milwaukee and both at the mayoral contest in Los Angeles. So with that in mind, this story is interesting. MS Now is being roasted for falsely reporting Caroline Leavitt was on the return plane from Turkey without Trump. Now, this is why it's important. Everybody got on the plane, even Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Trump got off the plane. He used a little side exit, and he jumped on this catering-type van, and nobody knew that he was not on the plane anymore. When Caroline Leavitt decided to step down not too long after that, there were some, on a left that, mm-hmm. That deal in the rumor mill and said, hey, you know why she's leaving, right? Because she was on that plane saying, hey, I'm a moving target while the president ran away to safety. Well, here's the problem with that story. She wasn't on the plane at all.
She wasn't on the trip.
And I mentioned it very casually one time, mm-hmm. and I didn't say it was, a fact, but I did. When are we going to realize that we can't trust anything on the internet anymore?
Yeah.
So then what do? Go back to the mainstream media that has not done a great job, but at least usually their stuff is based in truth. But MS Now, they bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a truth teller. It is not easy. And a lot of times you don't know if you're getting the truth. That's why it's a constant challenge, and I'm here for you, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here for you as well. It is 8:45 right now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Remember the Stones had a song and they said, what a drag it is getting old. The Who had a song talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old.
Uh-huh.
And all that going on. And it makes you think about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And how long you're going to be around.
Yeah.
Frank Beard, ZZ Top drummer, has passed away. So Billy Gibbons is the only one left in the band.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, this music that a lot of us basically grew up with, and he is now gone. So rest in peace, Frank Beard, 77. The other thing I was going to say when I started talking about what a drag it is getting old,
uh-huh.
You remember what that term meant back in the day? Drag, what a bore, what a pain,
yeah.
What a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now drag is something a little different, like as men dressed in drag.
Yeah.
And the latest exhibition of that, if you will, is attending a WNBA game.
Really?
The WNBA used to have a hard time getting men to pay attention to its sport. Now, the league has a growing number of men who want to join. Two men dressed in drag attended Saturday's game between the Las Vegas Aces and the Minnesota Lynx. It's less surprising to see men in drag in Las Vegas than in most other places, but it's highly unusual for them to state their intention to join the 2027 WNBA draft, which they did. The men's antics earned quizzical looks from stadium security and more than a few laughs from the assembled crowd.
I'll bet.
The issue of transgender athletes in women's sports has risen to the forefront again in recent weeks after Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham told ESPN that she believes men should be kept out of women's sports to ensure a fair and level playing field. Again, if we harken back to our youth, that would never be a subject.
No.
Nobody had a problem separating the boys and the girls and knowing the difference.
Well, the women were actually still fighting when we were kids. Stop and think about how many leagues didn't exist for women that they fought for
before Title IX came along, yeah.
And then, boy, they've messed that up since then.
I got a lot of negative feedback about me hating trans, and I'm like, I never once said that. I think that I'm here to extend love. That's what Cunningham said. She says it's not about hating.
Right.
Not hate the trans thing. She just doesn't think biological men should play in women's sports. Yeah. She said, you know, I want to extend love, but I also think that love is truth, being honest. And I want to protect young girls in the locker room or young girls in the sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men. It still amazes me that she's the controversial one. Not the coach who says trans kids belong or something.
Right.
That's not controversial anymore. If you stand up for what's right, what makes sense, you're the odd one out now.
And the target.
Since Cunningham's comments, former NBA players Royce White and Enes Kanter have expressed interest in joining the WNBA, putting the league's professed commitment and support for the transgender community to the test.
Uh-huh.
In case you don't know, that's why they're doing it.
Oh yeah,
these are not men who really want to play with women. They are doing this specifically to prove a very valid mm-hmm. point that men do not belong in women's sports. And they serve as a great physical example of exactly why. If they get out on the basketball court and you see them side by side with these women, well, it dwarfs the women by comparison, you could even still use that word. Of course, with the Las Vegas Dragsters now declaring the draft, White and Kanter will now face some stiffer competition for a roster spot.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you played in the NBA, would there be any question whether or not you could make the WNBA? No, I don't think there'd be any question.
Mm-hmm.
And would you change the game by your presence? Yes. Could possibly female players get hurt? I would have said yes until I saw the actual beatdown that Caitlin girl and Sophie Cunningham seemed to take every night.
Yep.
They try to rip their heads off, punching them, kicking them,
yes.
Tripping them. I mean, so...
at least that's people their own size, kind of, at least.
But, I mean, yeah. In some ways you say, well, maybe those women are a lot tougher than we think. But no, seriously, just the height, weight, advantage and ratio and strength.
Oh, yeah.
It's, again.
Well, here's a question for you then. If all these women think that this should be an integrated sport, why aren't they trying to join the NBA?
Well, because they couldn't.
Exactly.
I mean.
Exactly.
They just, you can't compete at that level. Look, these are superior athletes.
But, oh, yeah.
But a superior male athlete versus a superior female athlete, in most sports, the vast majority of them, the male is going to have the advantage.
Right.
It's the way it is in most sports. So, again, the left cannot stand being called out. They can't stand it, and they never want to have a debate. What is the debate to the left? Hey, I think that maybe biological men playing in women's sports, there could be a safety issue there, not to mention the locker room issue, but yeah, safety issue there. They're like, you hater! You transphobe! Gay phobe! Whatever phobe!
Fill in the phobe.
That's their debate. Because what else are you going to say? Do you know? I mean, and how could you continue to stand up for some of these issues when you couldn't even have a simple debate with yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
Now, why is it that you think we should have wide open borders? You think that people getting murdered, whether it's DUI, or rape, or killing in the streets, shootings, whatever, by people that aren't even supposed to be here, how could you go along with that? How could you be okay with that? And you have to remember the party that did that to you, that opened up the borders. That was the Democrat Party. That was Joe Biden. That's probably the last thing he remembers from his presidency because he did it on the first day.
Yeah.
He signed all the executive orders that allowed the border to be wide open. And he checked out shortly thereafter. But that is what the left wanted to do. And the Democrats support that kind of thing, even though they see with their own eyes the evidence in front of them of how bad it is. But still they support. It is 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. Something refreshing. Let's talk to a Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson. Always upbeat. He's got positive stuff to share with us. Plus, he's a big winner from last night. So we'll talk to him next. 97.3 The Sky.